It's a great privilege to be with you this morning. I'd ask you to turn in your Bible to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. These are very familiar verses. I dare say probably just about everybody in here could quote these verses from memory. And yet one of the reasons you were probably instructed as a child to memorize these verses is because they are truly profound. They are truly life-giving direction verses. This is a tremendous promise that we discover in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let's pray as we continue. Father, we do thank you once again that you are the King of glory. Father, thank you that you are not a God that does not know and has not tasted what we experience on a daily basis here. You sent your Son who became flesh and dwelt among us and was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. He was crucified, he was buried, he rose again. And we worship you today, and we ask you to help us to seek you and know you and trust you this day and every day. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin by sharing a testimony and being very transparent with you. I was thinking this morning as I was reviewing this message, it was 27 years ago this month that I went to Cameroon for the first time. 27 years ago this month, got on a plane and flew to Cameroon during a Christmas break. I was a college student, just like each of you here in this chapel. And I was seeking the Lord and wondering if this could be God's will for my life. And I remember starting a new journal, Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest, at the beginning of that year. I remember sitting behind the mud hut that I stayed in that month, and I remember sitting under the grass that came down over the top of that roof. And I can remember watching the sunrise that morning and begging God, "God, please show me your will. Show me where you want me to serve you. Show me who you want me to marry. God, show me your will, your direction. I am willing. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go wherever you want me to go. But God, please show me your will." And I must have prayed that a dozen times that morning. God, show me your will. And then as I was reading January 2nd, Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest, after pouring my heart out to God to show me His will, I read this entry. Oswald Chambers writes, "God does not tell you what He is going to do. He reveals to you who He is." And I stopped and I said, that can't be right. I've been praying all morning. God, show me your will. What do you want to do with my life? And I'll do it. And Oswald Chambers has the audacity to say, that's not how it works. I mean, he's saying God doesn't tell you what He's going to do. He wants you to seek and know Him. And so I paused and I began to think about that. And one of the first verses that came to my mind was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge or know Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I thought of Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Wow, okay. Well, that was kind of the psalmist's perspective and Solomon's perspective. And then I thought of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I thought of Jeremiah 29. I had been meditating on Jeremiah in my own personal devotions. I was writing out this thing in calligraphy, Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, where the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Here's Jeremiah writing or speaking to the people, God's word to the people of Judah who are about to go into bondage and captivity. And Jeremiah declares God's word to them, and he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Wow. God, through Jeremiah, says to the people, "I want you to seek me. I know the plans that I have for you," God tells them. "I know the plans, and they're going to be really rough for the next 70 years. But you know what? I have an expected end. And in the meantime, I want you to seek me and know me and trust me." I thought of Daniel. I just finished reading Daniel in my personal devotions this week. And I thought of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, after all that Daniel had experienced in chapter 1, being carried away into bondage and yet not becoming bitter. In chapter 2, interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's first dream. And in chapter 3, somehow escaping the experience with the fiery furnace like his fellows had to experience firsthand. In chapter 4, interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. And in chapter 5, interpreting the handwriting on the wall and being lifted up to the third most powerful man in the kingdom for a few hours anyway. And then chapter 6, in that next kingdom, surviving the den of lions. And Daniel testified in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Wow. As I was sitting under the roof of that mud hut that morning, and God was bringing these verses from the Old Testament and then also some from the New Testament, I thought of my favorite missionary Paul. As he wrote to the church in Philippi, his supporting church there, in Philippians chapter 3, he writes, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Paul's great passion and desire in life was to know Christ. And everything else was dung and loss compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Young people, as I continued to think, I later thought of 2 Peter 1, verse 3, where Peter writes, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Paul says, "My passion is to know him." And Peter says, "Everything we need to know to live godly in Christ Jesus comes from a knowledge of him." And even the Lord Jesus Christ himself says in John chapter 17, verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." As I sat that day in Cameroon on the backside of that mud hut watching the sun rise, the Lord did something in my heart and life that changed my life forever. My focus was directed from knowing God's will and seeking God's will for my life to something far, far, far more precious. to seek and know Him personally above all else. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things is where my focus was. All these things was where my prayer was. And God said, Ben, seek me, know me, and trust me. That's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tell. That's the outline in those precious, precious verses. Seek Him. Seek the God of the Word in the Word of God every day. Young people, I know personally as a college student how easy it is to treat this book like another textbook. And I know how easy it is to get up in the morning to have devotions and say, God, give me a nugget to just help me get through the day, rather than to come to this Word and say, God, I want to know You today. As I get into Your Word, I am seeking You. This book is not a textbook. I don't want to take 4 years, 5 years, 6 years of college and seminary and come out knowing a lot about You. God, I want to know You. I want to walk with You. And this book is the book that reveals, this is Your revelation, Your special revelation to me. And I want to know You. Young people, seek Him and know Him. God is not a subject. Jesus is not just a doctrine. Jesus is a person. Don't be content to learn more details and more information about Him. Know Him personally. If I were to ask all of us today, who is the President of the United States? We know the President of the United States. But if I were to ask you here today, do you have his phone number? Because I have a few questions and a few comments that I would like to make to the president, all right? I seriously doubt anybody in this room actually has Joe Biden's phone number, okay? Yeah, we know about him, but we don't really know him. And I'm afraid there are a lot of Christians today who know a lot about God and can pass the doctrine's exam on theology, but they don't really walk with God and know Him and trust Him. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. Seek Him, not your own understanding. Know Him, not just information about Him, but know Him personally and trust Him. As Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 remind us, those very, very, very familiar verses, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Young people, I can tell you, and I hopefully am not coming necessarily to the end of my journey in life, although none of us really knows, but I can tell you at this point in my life, this exercise of trusting God is a lifelong exercise. Seek Him, know Him, trust Him. I'm thankful, looking back 27 years, to that moment where God kind of adjusted my focus and my prayer to not just knowing God's will, but knowing Him and making that my passion and desire each day. I can look back and say, you know what, as I got into this book every day and I sought Him and knew Him and trusted Him, God did direct my path to Cameroon in West Africa. I'm thankful that I can look back and I can say that through God's leading and directing, seeking Him every day, God did provide the wife, the helpmeet that I needed. And I'm thankful for the four children that God blessed us with who became our team members in serving the Lord there in Cameroon and even to this day are active in helping in that. I'm thankful as I look back and consider the very week that we were supposed to be appointed with Baptist World Mission. It was an annual meeting right here at this church. And my wife and I did not make it. We actually got appointed the next year because in October of that year, my wife went into labor and our son Andrew was born and he had a lot of health problems after a few weeks of intensive care there in Chattanooga, it became evident that my son was born with a rare liver disease. And they said the only hope for survival is a liver transplant. They sent us down to Atlanta to get on the transplant list. And after a couple weeks down there, my son had so much bleeding. His brain was bleeding. His lungs were bleeding. Everything was bleeding for weeks. They said, we can't put him on the list. Even if we had a perfect match, if we tried to do surgery and open him up, he would just bleed to death on the table. We're going to send you back to Chattanooga with comfort care until he dies. And I looked at the doctor that day and I said, well, how long does he have? And the doctor said, 2 months at the most. And we had to come back to the basics, to seek him and know him and trust him. And thousands of people that we knew, hundreds and thousands of people that we knew around the world, praying that God would do a miracle for baby Drew. 2 months to the day that doctor told us that in Atlanta, Andrew came home from the hospital. He never had a liver transplant. He's on no drugs or medication today whatsoever for his liver. He's a junior at Ambassador Baptist College studying for the ministry today. God did an absolute miracle in his body. Seek him. Know him. Trust him. Young people, you're in college, and I'm just sharing testimonies here of how things and circumstances that God has brought us through. But you know what? You're going to go through your own circumstances, and you need to seek God and know him and trust him. I can remember getting to the field of Cameroon. Cameroon is a little different than growing up in Indiana in the Midwest of the United States. I can tell you that right now. And there were a lot of adjustments, and there were a lot of changes. And I remember our coworker saying to me, you know, Ben, you learned so many lessons the hard way. I'm just going to sit back and watch you make all the mistakes and all the adjustments and the culture shocks and everything and learn from you. And you know what? Even through those months and years of those major adjustments, seeking God and knowing God and trusting God, he was with us all along the way. Through the ministry, through the ups, through the downs, through the trials, through the times when false accusations were made and we were wondering if our ministry was going to be finished, and just seeking God and knowing God and trusting God and God bringing through those accusations to vindication and to see God provide and protect the work and the ministry there in Cameroon. Praise the Lord. As Pastor mentioned, those deep trials when our coworker, Brother Charles Wesco, was killed. Whew. I remember crying out to God, saying, God, I know I'm in the center of your will. How could this happen? I remember when we got back to the States, you know, typically when you come back to the States as a missionary, you plan a furlough. And you plan where you're going to stay, and you plan ahead and get a vehicle and so forth. And we had no plans. We landed near our home church there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and somebody had allowed us to temporarily use a van, and somebody else had allowed us to use a missionary house, and we pulled into that driveway. And I can remember turning around in that van and looking at my wife and kids and saying, I have no idea what the next step is. All my life, all my adult life, I have had an idea what the next step was. And I looked at my wife and kids and I said, I have no idea if we're ever going to be able to go home to Cameroon. I have no idea what the next step is. I looked at my kids and I said, if you will follow me as your daddy, I will keep seeking and knowing and trusting my daddy, and I will follow him. And if you will follow me, God will direct our paths. And he has. And he has. I can remember the last visit we had from our field administrator, Brother Steve Anderson, and trying to communicate to him, even when we were there on the coast, and people were getting saved, and the Bible Light Baptist Church was being established there in Creby. And Brother Steve Anderson coming to visit and pouring out my heart to him and saying, Brother Steve, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like God has another step and another direction in life, and I don't understand it. I love Cameroon. I love serving the Lord here, but But I feel like God has something else, another step, and I don't understand it. And Brother Steve Anderson and I prayed together and wept together, and we just laid it all on the altar and said, God, you're in control. And the next day, Brother Bud Stedman calling and or sending an email and saying, hey, we'd like to have a Zoom call with you. Can we talk? And Brother Steve Anderson flew out of the country that day, and I was wondering, am I in trouble? Is Brother Anderson in trouble? What's going on here? And Brother Bud Stedman and the chairman of the board asking if I would consider praying about coming back to the U.S. and serving as the executive director of Baptist World Mission. That was so far off my radar of possibilities and opportunities. But you know what? Going through this experience in the last couple years, seeking Him and knowing Him and trusting Him and watching Him lead and guide. You know one thing I've learned, as I said a few moments ago, this journey of seeking and knowing and trusting never ends. My predecessor, Bud Stedman, is 70 years old. You know what he had to do when we moved to Alabama? He had to pray and seek God. What state am I going to move to? God, can you provide a house for me? Can you provide a new church for me? And seeking God, even at that age, that life of faith and trust, it doesn't end. And so, young people, I want to say today, in this chapel period, at your age, I want to challenge you to cling to the instruction and the powerful promise here in these familiar verses. At your age, today, in this chapel, determine today that you are going to seek God every day. That your focus is not going to be just learning more and more information about God and the Bible and theology. That your highest focus is going to be that of Paul and the apostles and the prophets that we've looked at today. Your focus is going to be knowing Him. That you might know Him. And all that that comes with, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable to Him, even to His death. Seek Him. Know Him. And young people, for the rest of your life, trust Him. And He will direct your paths.